Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. This is Dr. Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Dr. David Stoop and Milan Yurkovich, and of course, your calls. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Can't see it.
You can't see it? Oh my goodness, I'm really trying hard here. It's these ears. Okay, for those of you, there we go. Nice.
Nice.
Well, I look like four ears right now, you know? Okay, for those of you that can't see us on the radio, I have a set of ears on my head.
Mickey Mouse kind of ears.
They're kind of Mickey Mouse kind of ears.
With Captain Jack Sparrow accoutrements.
It's a little bit of a rebel looking look in Arr. The world. Arr. So I want you to know. Bottom line is, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yes.
So I have some mice here that have joined me today.
Yes.
We have Dr. David Stoop, Mousetrap there, and then Milan Mouse Yurkovich.
Milan Mouseketeer.
Yeah, there you go.
And what am I supposed to do with this?
Well, you know, it's just being playful a little bit. This is our fearless leader.
Yes, our fearless leader.
The cat. When the cat's away,
the mice will play. Okay,
I
got
know.
It.
So we're so playing
mice.
Today.
So when I answer
today.
A question, I can go like this and hide behind the
you
microphone,
can.
And I can let this person mm-hmm. look at the TV.
You totally can. We're here having fun today.
Nope. Is there a purpose to this.
Oh.
And,
okay.
And go ahead. Go ahead. Lead us on.
Yeah.
Fearless
well,
leader.
So think about it, right? I don't know if you've ever had a problem with mice or rats. I actually have had a rat infestation in my house, and it has been horrible. There's two ways to kill rats. I heard a quote that there's two ways to kill rats. You can either, if they're in your garage, right? You can either go into your garage and shoot the rats, or you can clean out the garage. Right? So
or get a cat.
Get a cat. True. Well, actually, that's where the quote came from. In the 14th century, it said, where there is a castle, where there is no cat, the rat is king. Right?
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So that's where it actually came from. But when we think about it in light of God's truth, you know, he asks us to clean out our garage, right? And so just wanted to spend a couple minutes here talking about what are the things that we can do in our Christian walk so that we can clean out the rats that are in our lives. Rats can be negative thinking. Rats can be pornography. Rats can be anger. You know, those are all the things that get trapped in our garage that lead us into behaviors that are not good for us.
Eat away at the good stuff in
they
us.
They do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do.
I have an interesting thought that all this prompted me to think.
Nice.
And that's a good thing. Rather than be distracted, I actually had a thought, which is this. It's a twofold question. One, how serious do I take God? How serious? Do I think he's just this, you know, this vague, abstract, mysterious thing far, far away and not very personal? Or how serious do I take him? If I take him seriously, do I then consider his words are important in my life and while I pay attention to them? If that is answered yes, then I also have to answer the next question. What will I do when I'm by myself and when I'm alone? What will I allow my mind to entertain?
Yeah.
And will I choose to be obedient to God by myself or in public or with other people? Or what happens when I'm all alone?
Yeah.
And will I bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ when no one is looking but God? And that is how I think we, as Dave talked about sanctification on another show, that's how we maintain the vigil toward trying to become more pleasing to the Lord.
Well, the battle's in our mind.
It's
our thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, and just like your book says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are what we think. Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep our minds clean, right?
And could you take that hat off so we can start?
Hey, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham and sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And I'm here with Mylan and Larry. Larry Sonnenberg is our president of New Life, and he has an update for us.
Well, before I do the update, I want to say happy birthday to Lisa Voyen.
Lisa
is one of our employees, but more than that, she's probably the most important employee on the planet because she keeps things organized for radio and makes radio and TV happen.
We love you, Lisa. Isn't that amazing to have him share your birthday over the space here, airspace? And you know what? Whose other birthdays are in the month of June? John Townsend.
Okay.
His birthday was on June 1st. And Dave Stoops' birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
wow.
I know.
And Steve's is coming up.
Steve's coming up.
But he'll tell us all about that. He'll take care of that one.
Our fearless cat leader.
Well, what I wanted to talk about just real briefly is, you know, from time to time we come on the radio and we seek support and ask and try not to beg, but sometimes it comes across that way. And you, as a listener, you're probably thinking, what do we have to do to get those guys to shut up about money? And what I would suggest or ask you to consider doing are two things. One is, if you're a new person, if you've never before called or contacted us or supported us, please consider doing that. And the other thing is, join Club New Life. Club New Life is our monthly giving program, and we ask you to give $30 a month or more. It's just a dollar a day is what it is. And then for that, as a way of saying thank you, we give you a CD each and every month that Steve records. We have interviews. We have teachings from the radio hosts. We have some phone calls. We have some testimonies. Mm-hmm. What's going on at New Life.
Yep, lots of stuff.
And it just
good
helps
stuff.
People connect, because not everybody can hear this program all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody who gives to New Life. And if you haven't given, give before, and please consider joining Club New Life.
It's important.
You know, sometimes when you order a DVD series for a show, a TV show, and you buy it and you bring it home, you'll see the episodes, and that's what you enjoy. But the other thing I enjoy is I enjoy watching the special features. And they show you how scenes were recorded. They're kind of behind the scenes, and they show you how the show was put together. And that's what kind of Club New Life is like. This the CD, you'll hear, you know, conversations, you'll hear special shows, you'll hear commentaries. You kind of get a behind-the-scenes thing. Steve always does a little bit of a, you know, hey, everybody out there with Club New Life. And, you know, it's an opportunity to become a little bit more personally involved in the ministry.
And we get to hear sometimes some little insights and interviews and things about the lives of the radio hosts that we don't get to hear on radio, and that's fun too.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take away from the phone calls. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Pull the car over right now. Stop. Make the call.
We'll really appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't text while you drive, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you, Larry. And we do. It's a ministry-run radio station, and thank you for supporting us. And we're going to go to the phones here and get on the phone here with Anita. Anita is calling us from San Luis Obispo, California, from KLFF. Hey, Anita.
Hi there.
Hi. Welcome to New Life Live. Thanks for calling. Hey, how can we help?
Well, my problem today is with my 14-year-old daughter and myself. I have allergies, and I cough and clear my throat often. And this all started last summer when we were on vacation. She started getting upset with me all the time about this. And since then, it's just become a huge, long list of things I can't say and do. And she'll cry, and she'll huff, and she'll say she can't help it, and she prays about it, but she still gets upset and says she can't help it, even though she makes those sounds herself. And she'll run off to her room, she'll put headphones on in the car, she disengages from the family, and won't watch TV in the room unless I'm silent. And if I make any sounds, then she gets all upset and leaves the room. And my husband says it's not that bad. He doesn't notice anything. And when we're in a large group, like at church or whatever, people make those sounds all around her, and she won't make a fuss over it. But I can make a little sound at the other end of the house, and she starts crying and getting upset. So so this really, the part of the problem is me, too, because it really hurts my feelings. And I can take it for a while, but then I'll lose my temper, and I'll say and do things I regret. And I'm usually a really easygoing person. But she seems to push my buttons, and then I can't make myself take this high road.
Sure.
And she's really good about being quick to say she's sorry. But it gets hard to accept after a while when I know 10 minutes later she's going to turn around and do it again.
Right. So,
my question is, how can she be helped to overcome this problem, and how can I be helped to deal with her?
Okay. Good question.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is the best answer, but I'm going to say it anyway.
He was chuckling. You were like, kind
go
of,
see an ENT doctor, right? Or
no, no,
doctor.
No. You said she does the same kind of sounds, and so when she does that sound, you need to say, "Oh my word, I can't stand that! Will you stop it?" You know, and just over exaggerate her behavior. The danger in doing that is you crush your spirit. So I'm half serious only. I'm going to wait till my cohorts here either tell me I'm stupid or
we would never tell you you're
but see
stupid.
Sometimes something is changed by doing the opposite of what makes sense.
Okay.
In an interaction between people. And so, you know, there's an old saying that trying harder only gets you more the same. So the harder you try to stop making those sounds, the more everything just stays the same. So doing something that's illogical, something that's off the wall, that's surprising, if you can do it with some humor, you probably would have a better chance at it. But that's what I would suggest you try, Anita. And then if it backfires, call me back and I'll say something different.
Well, Anita, she has you hooked.
Yeah.
See, and when she has you hooked, what you got going on in the house is 14-year-old versus 14-year-old.
Yeah.
That's the way it ends up. Yeah.
Well, it is. It ends up like that. And yeah. I am an amazing guy all by myself, you know, when I don't have my kids around. But when my kids enter into the room or another person, I start to I start to fall apart because all of a sudden my buttons get pushed. So I would start with yourself first, and I'd like to suggest that you sit down with your daughter and you have a more dedicated conversation. Because really, I had a parent say to me recently when we asked, "What do you not like about your child?" And they said, "I don't even like hearing her breathe."
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
See, now, what that tells me is that there's a high level of contempt already brewing so that you can't even walk into the room. You can't sniff, sneeze, or breathe that I don't look at you with contempt.
Huh. Right.
And so what I would do if I were you is I would say, "What have I done to make you angry?" Because the Bible says parents don't make your kids angry. Well, what if, and you know, we don't try and set the world compasses and time clocks by 14-year-olds, okay? They're not our central zero, you know? They're not our place where we find true center and true north. But we should ask her, "What have I done to make you angry?" And really try to get down to how do I irritate you in other ways. And because teenagers are in a very weird spot. If you allow yourself to be registered from her, you're going to get pulled into 14-year-oldism every day. And so what you really need to do is just stop and ask, "How do I make you angry?" And maybe deal with some of her larger frustrations. You say periodically you lose your temper. And be open to listening to her, "What do I do?" And maybe when you get down to the root issues, some of these other irritations where she's irritated at you will go away.
Well, and my guess is she's going to, what she'll find out is it's a lot of stuff about herself. The daughter. when she doesn't like what she sees in her mother, so she doesn't like it in herself.
Well, and I think that's
a great
point.
Conversation to
it's
have.
It's a perfect conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting when you talk about daughter and mom. I'm sitting here thinking from a brain perspective that I have a friend who has a cough. And I have a group of friends that gets together, and one of the friends in the group has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. That's part of her brain called the cingulate gyrus. It's turned on way too high. And so what happens is when this gal coughs, it is such an irritant to her. It's like fingers on a chalkboard. And so I would wonder, since OCD is under the anxiety disorders, is she afraid of your cough? Is it that she does have kind of a cingulate that's turned up kind of high? Does she have other little traits that would kind of look like OCD, where she gets stuck on other things, stuck on other sounds?
And with that, could she be a highly sensitive person?
Sensitive person. There's a great book called The Highly Sensitive Person out there.
By Beth. Elaine Aaron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have...
Buy her some earplugs then.
Yeah. Actually, I have a set of ears that I could send out to you. They're not quite earplugs, but I was wearing them earlier today.
I think all we're here saying is don't react on a surface level. Stop and go down to a deeper level and say, what's really going on?
Yeah.
Because she could be differentiating from mom and dad. She could be angry. She could be upset, as Dave said, with herself, not liking parts of herself.
Right.
So it's a time to really have great conversations.
Yep. Yep. So
what you're saying, Mylan, is that when I'm telling the mom to respond that way, I'm saying act out being a 14-year-old with a 14-year-old.
Well, no.
That may level the playing field.
No, what you did wasn't acting like a 14-year-old. What you did was you were pretending you're acting like a 14-year-old.
And then
when she gets hooked and triggered, she's actually feeling like a 14-year-old, and that's a different story. There's purpose to your idea.
Well, hopefully we've said something, Anita, that's been helpful. What would be a good resource to send out to Anita?
Raising great kids. That's too young, isn't it?
Well, how about How We Love Our Kids?
Well, thanks for suggesting that, our new book, How We Love Our Kids.
Who
wrote that?
Mylan and Kay.
Oh, okay.
It's hot off the press. It's great. I actually just got a copy of it about 3 weeks ago and have been giving out to my clients. So
thanks.
Let's go ahead and send her that. And let's go again to the calls. We'll go to Mary, who's calling from Washington, D.C., WAVA. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome. You are welcome. How can we help you today?
To me, it's complicated. It might not be so to you all. I've been listening for years, and I've read lots and lots of your books. I've been married for 17 years.
Okay.
And I'm slow to learn and realize things are kind of coming full circle to where I'm understanding now that my husband truly does resent me for us getting married.
Okay.
We have a history of problems. He's an avoider for sure, but and I'm kind of a recovering avoider. But we've been to the New Life Weekend.
Okay.
We went to Every Man's Battle about 4 years ago. But until recently, I guess in the last couple of years, I had some very clear boundaries because of how I was being treated with these long stretches of silent treatments and temper tantrums that he has very controlled anger. So it comes out, you know, in other ways. So there's no, you know, he hasn't had an affair, he hasn't slapped me, but the marriage has been very, very painful for me. So my question is, I guess, is there anything else? I feel like I have done everything possible to do. We are separated in the home. And over the last couple of years, I've said, you know, this is going off a cliff fast. We need to get help. We got a little bit of help. But each time we go do something, given the conference or counseling, I'm realizing now that he really hasn't even been honest with himself. And I kind of ties into what Mylan was saying about contempt. I've always, throughout the years, felt like he had contempt for me off and on throughout our marriage. And he is a black and white person, an all good or all bad person. And now that I've set up these boundaries, it's come to my realization that I am definitely all bad now in his eyes. So he has moved forward, taking out all our money, doing something grandiose with it that has nothing to do with the family that we have with three children. Things like that, and then saying that I'm giving up the marriage and I'm forcing a divorce. And I said, I don't want a divorce. I want you to get help.
Well, we want to give you some help, and you called at a perfect time because Mylan is sitting right here, and I'm sure he has some good feedback for you.
Oh, I can't stand the pressure with that setup. Boy, I better come up with something good.
You might have to do that. We appreciate all that you have done already. It sounds like you've really been trying, Mary, so we will take a short break here and come right back with Mylan, New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Dr. David Stoop and Mylan Yurkovich, and we are talking to Mary, who is very frustrated, has been through a lot of different interventions right now, and Mylan had some thoughts right before the break.
Well, Mary, my heart goes out to you, and I definitely get how frustrating it would be for you, and also the difficulty your husband's facing right now as well. It's hard for both of you not to try to establish any weight of guilt, but there is recorded in all the attachment literature a concept of pursuer-distancer. And there's thousands of pages written in the literature about pursuers and distancers, and they create a chasing, kind of like Pac-Man going throughout the little maze, chasing little things. And sometimes people become contemptuous or feel contempt when they're over-pursued, and there's always somebody breathing down their neck. And that's what makes them angry. And if he is an avoider, avoiders usually get angry when they feel backed into a corner. And but oddly enough, you probably back him into a corner because you feel panicky and scared and you feel it slipping away and you want to correct it. So one of the things I would suggest that you do is back up a bit and establish a little bit more distance where he doesn't feel as though you're pursuing so heavily, but make an overture from afar. and just say, well, you know, let's see what happens. And what are you going to do in the next month? And we'll just be quiet and wait. Because if we over-pursue, sometimes that makes people angry. And we can just turn down the throttle a little bit. We have the heat turned up just a little too hot.
So if he stops talking to her, the long silent treatments, are you saying she should be silent too?
I'm saying she needs to pull back too and pay attention to what he's doing and not just go chase him and pursue, because she's only going to provoke that anger. They're separated already, you see.
Right.
And so in the house.
In the house. But if he really has that level of contempt, hey, be a little more aloof and see if he tries to, you know, if that wakes him up. Like Dave said a little while.
You know, that's the problem is nothing. I said I have let go, and I realize that he's not moving towards this marriage at all. In fact, he's doing the opposite.
Well, then that's your answer. He doesn't want it, and you have to deal with that reality. And the other thing I want to say quickly before you finish your thought is you need to get a separation perhaps if he's pulling out all your money and spending it on grandiose stuff, and it is not his money to do that with. It's half your money. You may want to stop and think about it. If this man is not in the relationship and he views you with contempt, he's angry toward you, and he's starting to pull the money out, when do you pull the plug and say, I must protect myself and the children?
Right. I found out that where I live is the separation papers are divorce papers, and that's the reason. I just found out that you just can't sleep, basically, when you have dependents. You can't have sex for a year. And you can, you know, file for divorce. So that is his clock ticking, and I have totally pulled out of the picture as far as anything else. And he looks me in the eyes and says, have no illusion, it's never going to happen. And so I guess it's taken me a long time to really accept that this is, he'll say two different things. He literally is split. One minute he's all amorous and wants to hug me, and I say, you know, go hug that thing you purchased in the backyard. But
sounds more like a vacillator.
And then the next minute he's, you know, moving full throttle away.
Mm-hmm. So
I feel like almost like he's like living with a schizophrenic, and so I have to keep kind of plugging forward and marching forward and knowing that at the end of the year this is probably going to happen. I just want to make sure I've done everything.
Well,
I guess I worry about, you know, I worry about my children, and I worry about that I didn't. There's one more thing that I didn't try.
Well, in Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, one of the other positions is called vacillator. And in that, there's some of a push me, pull you, come closer, go away, come closer, go away.
Right.
And it's really confusing and hard to live with the partner in that vacillating state because, you know, you're kind of like, well, you know, it feels a little bit like walking on eggshells sometimes because you don't know what to expect. I guess one of my questions for you is you mentioned that he went to EMB. Why did he go to EMB?
Because back then I said, this is what I want you to do, and he got mad.
Because he was struggling with pornography or what?
He didn't want me pulling away, and so he went.
But Mary, was he struggling with pornography?
Yes.
Okay, so.
And he still has throughout all the years. You know, it's off and on.
All right.
He's more of a multiple addicted person where, you know, he finds a hobby or it's something to research to death and find something to medicate himself. So it's been off and on, and that's another whole, you know, set of issues. It's just he'll go to things and say, okay, now I did it. Now you change and get back to normal. So there's really never a character change or a heart change, and I guess I've been always hoping, you know, if you just go to the New Life Weekend, something
you know,
will happen. And you know what? There are some people out there that it's not
going to
happen.
Well, you know, the part I keep hearing, Mary, is you've tried real hard to fix him. And I don't know how hard you tried to fix the us. And, you know, if I'm him and I'm being labeled as the problem all the time, you know, I'm going to dig in my heels and get angry and contemptuous as well. If you're saying, you know, I care, I'm lonely, I miss you, I thought we had a chance, I wish we could give it one more shot and see somebody together to find out what's wrong between us, not what's wrong with you or what's wrong with me, but what's wrong between us.
I honestly have.
Okay.
I really have. I've told him in the past, you know, I'm lonely. This is, you know, we're going, and we would go to counseling. But as you sit there and listen to the counseling and, you know, I'm open do.
Well, hey, Mary, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a moment to talk with you further.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Sherry Denham, and I'm here with Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. And Mylon, you had a thought here in light of Mary.
Well, when couples walk into my office, they've been struggling for years, sometimes two, three decades, and they just react to one another. They don't know why. So what's really good would be good if Mary and her husband could get into a counselor who understands attachment theory. Because it sounds like her husband's a vacillator, and it sounds like she's a pleaser. And they both are anxious inside. And it's not necessarily a character. While character is related to this, these are old tapes that have been playing since, you know, we were infants. And this reactivity and this fear that she might be feeling, and then his worry, I'm going to lose you, and I need to pursue you, and I need to go to EMB just to keep you and satisfy you. You know, who's who here, and what is the dynamic? And if somebody could help them understand that, they could begin to manage it. But you only can manage what you understand.
And you can only manage what you're willing to do the work for.
Right.
I mean, I have to tell you, my heart goes out to you, Mary, because having been a wife who had a husband who was addicted to pornography and it continued, I remember that feeling of this is slipping off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much I wanted to do,
right.
If someone's not in recovery, they're not in recovery.
Right.
And it makes it so much harder to do the couple work. I mean, we were in couple counseling. So, you know, I heard a piece of that.
Well, back to what I said at the beginning, that sometimes you have to decide whether the person's even willing to work anymore.
Right.
And you have to ask, is this over?
Yeah.
And has a person totally dumped me? And is this really over? Maybe I need to read that piece of the mail and make a decision.
I remember having a verse at that point that came that I looked at, and it just, you know, it's a verse that says if a man divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman, he commits adultery. Well, the word for immorality there is actually porneia in the Greek. That's where we get the term for pornography, and it comes from the idea of a lifestyle of sexual sin. Meaning, I am doing this, I have not given it up, I am still doing it. And in that situation, it's really hard to leverage the marriage, you know, the us that you were talking about,
well,
Dave.
And there's, in brain studies with men who are addicted to pornography, there's a different part of the brain, and it shuts off the relational part of the brain. They don't know how to relate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And men think that it helps them, and it may help them the first couple times, but it really is a turnoff to the guy for the real thing.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a little clip from our Every Man's Battle weekend and hear from Don, who's one of the gentlemen that attended.
That first night, it was so enlightening because for the first time, I heard somebody talk my language.
Mm.
And somebody, you know, I didn't feel weird. I didn't feel like God's first mistake anymore. You know, it was a very the healing process began. And or continued during that, and it was an important part of that process. And it was just the whole experience was, you know, I finally got to hear who I was from somebody else, how I was made, and how God could restore that and transform my life. And it was tremendous experience.
It's so important, these EMB weekends for the men. And we've got one coming up June 24th through 26th. If you're a man and you are struggling with pornography, I mean, Mary's call is kind of chilling because it does send an honest and painful look at what happens when recovery doesn't enter into your household. It's devastating. Mm. It just gets uglier and uglier. So, hey, if you are a family that's struggling, a husband or a wife, get them into EMB. And then for the wives who are in a situation where you're wondering what to do with the sex addiction, we want to invite you to our very first Wives in the Battle workshop that's coming up September 23rd through 25th, and we'd love to have you. So please take advantage of these resources. We're here for you. We want to help you get into these issues and battle well.
Now, Sherry, you're going to be doing the primary lectures at that Women in the Battle workshop.
Right.
And this is a new thing that New Life is doing. We've accentuated Every Man's Battle for a long time. This is new. What are some of your visions for that event and those weekends?
I am so excited about it because I actually can see it being a good marriage between the Wives in the Battle and the Every Man's Battle. And I already am praying that God, in casting a vision, that God will begin to create pockets of women all over the country that can be kind of battle buddies, that the conference will be a weekend for them to come, but then we can start getting connected in their own cities and their own states. And I'm praying it's going to be a national movement. We haven't had anything out there, and I wish this could have been available when I was struggling in my marriage, and there hasn't been anything for 15 years. This is the first thing on a national level. So
for the women.
For the women. Mm-hmm. There's nothing out there. So please come, be a part. Be a part of God's movement. God is doing this. You know, we're just responding, right, to what God is already doing.
Her enthusiasm looks kind of natural, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah.
It is.
It should be a great program.
It is. I'm so excited.
She's not fabricating anything here, is she?
No.
I'm so excited. Well, hey, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Kara here, who is calling from Yakima, Washington. Yakima, Washington. Station number KSOH. Hey, Kara.
Hey, thanks very much, Faye. I feel like I hit the jackpot today because I have a T-shirt and it says, "I listen to the boys."
Woo! Ah. And they are here.
Well,
I hit the jackpot, too.
I've been listening to you forever, and Dr. Stoop is probably one of my favorite authors.
Oh, how nice. You're my favorite caller today. Thank you.
You can keep telling them that.
Well, my Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves book looks like it's been earmarked and used so much. It's about
great.
As earmarked as my Bible is. But I'm so thankful that I got in today. And I'll try to make it brief, but I'm not sure. I'll just please butt in and ask questions.
Okay.
We always do.
Okay. I've been divorced for 12 years. Took your advice years ago, and also, you know, I'm my kid's mom, Dr. Laura thing. Raised my kids alone, survived a horribly abusive marriage, won some legal battles in the courts to protect my children, got my children in, you know, they were raised in a stable home. Now they're almost out of the home and starting to feel really lonely. And so I started dating, and I met a man about 3 or 4 years ago, and then he remembered my number, and he called me after he became separated from his wife. Now, I haven't dated. I've focused on my kids. I've built my own business. I think I have a lot to offer. I've become very emotionally healthy, thanks to a lot of your work. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm in an emotionally healthy place to have to remarry. My question is, I've been dating him for 2 years, and it's kind of a make-or-break time for me as to whether or not this is a person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And to begin with, I want to tell you a few positive things about him. I'd say he's a very emotionally available man. I know quite a bit of men who I think will use pornography, use all different kinds of things to prevent themselves from being, you know, emotionally available. They've been brought up in shame or whatever, but I feel like this guy is somebody who's healthy.
So what's the pause? Why wouldn't you have said yes already?
Well, here's the problem. He has an ex that he has a child with, and she just won't let go of him. And I met him when he wasn't healed from that relationship, and
So give us your question. We're coming up to a break here. So
yeah, I guess it took him about 8 or 9 months, and I broke up with him. I stopped dating him because I knew he wasn't over her. And then about a month or two went by, and then he decided, you know, that was it. He didn't want her in his life.
Give us your question, because we're about ready to go to break.
Well, she's married.
Okay.
And so she was not available anyway, but I don't know. Now it's been 2 years.
So your question, my dear, what's your question for us?
Well, my question is, I'm not sure if I have to decide if, you know, he's wanting to know. I mean, he wants to know about a future together.
Right. After 2 years, he's saying, what's up? What are you going to do? Are you going to move forward with me or not? Is that where he's at?
Exactly, because I'm worried that he's going to cheat on me. I guess I'm kind of worried that this woman who he has a child with that he sees every other weekend, if it's going to be an issue.
All right. So has he been faithful with you the whole time? 2 years?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'd say the first couple months, though, when we first started dating, I didn't know it.
All right.
But one time, I guess.
Okay.
And then... Yeah.
So let's do this. We're going to take a quick break here and come back. We're going to hear from Mylon and Dave and help you to answer the dilemma. Do I move forward with him? We'll be right back.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, Maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to New Life Live. It's Sherry Denham sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm here with Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. And thoughts for Kara.
Hey, Kara, let me. I got a question. I want a quick answer because why did his marriage end?
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Was there?
You're probably going to say red flag. He's red flag. He was married for 25 years, mm-hmm. and it was very abusive. And I came out of an abusive marriage, too. And how I know it was abusive and not just something he said is he didn't want to talk about it. But I found out that she was arrested for domestic violence.
Oh, my word. Hey, Kara, here's something. I'm going to give you something to do. Besides run, you know. That is a big red flag. But the way to get at this is for you to do premarital counseling that isn't premarital. You know, it's like pre-engagement counseling. I've worked with couples who are your age, who meet somebody and they've been going together for a while, and now they're questioning about marriage. So they come in and they do what I put them through. What I would put through a couple who's going to do a premarital It's like I've seen a number of those that ended up with the people walking away from each other because of the clarification of the issues. They realize, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be in this relationship. And it was a mutual decision, a mutual understanding. So get into some couples counseling together so that you can begin to explore these issues. And the number one issue has to be the abuse thing and what he has done to... To heal from that.
I'm sorry, he wasn't the one that was abusive. It was in 1995, his wife.
She was the abuser. Okay.
We understood that. Okay. But the fact that both of you come from abusive relationships and each of you picked abusive people that potentially turned
abused
into that.
Abused people, yeah.
That abuse people. That's a red flag that both of you don't have the ability to pick well, and you might find yourself in a relationship too quick.
So get some help with your
picker. So get some help with the picker, because people have broken pickers, and they need to get their picker fixed. So, all right, now, but you also told me you're lonely, and I can also hear in your voice that you're insecure, and that's a bad combination, to be insecure and lonely. That's,
I've been single for 12 years,
I know.
And I have a successful business.
But
I've been doing fine.
You said you're lonely.
No, I never said I was lonely.
I thought you said you got your kids out the door and you're finding yourself lonely.
I'm starting to feel like I do want to be with somebody.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
I actually did fall in love with somebody 3 or 4 years ago, just briefly. But I start and I realize what I'm missing to have a partner and a soulmate. And so that's why, you know, I started dating him for the last 2 years. He has a lot going for him.
Okay, so Kara, I have a question for you because we have to get this quickly. We have to move on. How old is the child, Kara? How old is the child?
The child's almost 6.
Okay, so the question you have to ask yourself, you are marrying the whole package. If you marry him, you're taking on the whole package. You're taking on the ex. You're taking on the 6-year-old. You're taking on visitation. You're taking the whole thing on. Is that what you want? If you want a soulmate, if you marry him, you're going to have a highly distracted soulmate, one who has their attention divided in lots of different arenas, especially with a child so young. It's not like you, where your kids are older and out of the nest, okay, and have moved on. You're much freer than he is, and he may have a lot going for him. Let's give him that. I'm just saying, are you ready to take all this on? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Dave said, run, okay?
Well, that's my first reaction. But if you don't want to run, then run to a counselor that you see together. And, you know, in 6-8 sessions, you should have a really clear picture as to yes or no, and you'll know.
And on that, Kara, I would really recommend is that you actually go in and bring in the abuse stuff first. Just, you know, even with the call, it took us a while to kind of even hear what the downside was. You were all ready to tell us the upside of you, how ready you are, upside of him, and it's kind of like, what's the problem? Then all of a sudden, we find out that there's abuse in the background. I go, bring that in right away. You need to bring in the junk so you can have somebody help you really make a good decision for this. But don't try to do it on your own without help, because there is landmines in the past that you guys need to take a look at. So what would be a good resource for to send off to Kara? What do you think would be really good?
I think changes that heal, because it has concepts of bonding, boundaries, integrating good and bad, and being able to feel adult in relationships. And I think those are four grand categories that are very important for all of us.
Good. Yeah,
that's good.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back on the phones here. We'll take one more call. Everyone else, hold on, because we will be with you. We're going to go with Kelly, who's calling from Atlanta, Georgia, station WNIV. Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'll be better once I finish this conversation, because you guys are going to help me tremendously.
Good.
Well, we got short of time, so tell us quickly.
It's a quick question. We have a 21-year-old that we are very clear we need to go ahead and we already have told him you've got 6 weeks to prepare to move on to your next situation. He has a good job. He's just really irresponsible in the home. How do you maintain a connection and handle that where the relationship stays intact, but you still have to exercise the tough love that's necessary?
Well, you know, one of the things that eagles do is they make the nest more and more uncomfortable until the little ones start to fly.
I like that.
So somehow you got
to... Are you telling her to put nails in his bed? What are you
good,
doing?
Or put crackers in his bed, you know, and short sheet him or something.
I love how nature teaches us. I love how God teaches us through such simple things like that.
But Dave, you've had kids leave, and how do you maintain a relationship with them? Because you have a good relationship with your kids.
I have breakfast with one of my sons every week. I see my other son a couple times a week as he comes over. He walks the dog occasionally. You know, staying in touch with them isn't the problem. It's how do you get them out of the house is really the issue. And you give him alternatives. You can stay here, but it's going to cost you, you know, this much money a month. Or you just give alternatives and say, but you got 6 weeks to make up your mind and follow through on that. Just follow through on it and don't be afraid.
And maybe have the price be what it would cost for him to get a place outside.
Yeah.
Kind of like the eagle's nest. It's not like, because sometimes parents make a mistake and go, well, you can pay $200 a month. Well, it's like, but $800 or $1,000 a month, all of a sudden it's like, well, why not have my own place? I don't want to live here.
In with some guys and they share a house. You know?
I like the 6 weeks to move. They gave him plenty of advance notice.
Great, really.
And then
wise.
I would also give him the advance notice that we want to still have an adult relationship with you. And tell him.
Well, and tell him that's why you're doing this.
Because
as long as you stay at home, you're still the child. And you're very responsible in other ways, and we want to add this to your repertoire, and we want to have a good adult relationship with you.
Yeah. That's right.
What do you think, Kelly?
That sounds great, just putting it in those terms that this is the next step in adulthood. You want to be an adult. You've made that clear. So we're going to help you along, and we still want to be in a relationship with you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We're really proud of you.
Good
you're
job.
Modeling good things for some of our listeners, because it is a tough transition, and a lot of families get stuck with having kids live at their home for years after, and they don't know how to get them to launch. So you're doing good work.
And if we ever go to Atlanta, can we stay at your house, Kelly?
Because
you're going to have an empty room now. See, we can stay at her place.
We'll have an extra room.
Yeah, but you never know. There might be pins on that bed.
Well, they know. They'll get it all cleaned
like
off
the
before we come in.
They come back occasionally. We've had all of our kids come back, even with their kids. You know, they're in between moves and stuff. But that's the joy of an adult relationship.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly. What would be a great book for her? What do you think would be a good resource as we just wrap up?
Thinking Clear Today.
Well,
Go ahead, Mylon,
Changes at Heal has a great section on becoming an adult. It's the fourth section of Henry's book.
All right.
And I love it. And it just articulates clearly.
Great. Well, Changes at Heal, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.